Today's message is They Were All Together by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, especially verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. The some who forsake the assembling of yourselves together, they're not here this morning. The some who forsake the assembling of yourselves together, they use streaming now as a substitute for coming together. When technology came about, and when the internet came about, and when computers came about, God didn't tell us to take Hebrews 10 and 25 out the scriptures. And so the Word of God is relevant for every generation, for every situation, for every circumstance, for every century. The Word of God is relevant. And so the scripture tells us the closer we get to Jesus coming, the more we ought to be fellowshipping one with another. Not the less. Despite streaming, it was never meant to substitute us coming together. Because I want to talk about today, my plan was to do one message, but y'all know how that goes in this, because I want to move on and talk about some other foundational basic principles. We're calling this Back to Basics this month. On Wednesdays, we're focusing on finances, but getting to some foundational things in our Sunday morning services. And I want to talk today about getting together. They were all together. That's what I'm calling. They were all together. Christians are to come together, not just to hear the word, but to have fellowship one with another. Now, in our word-focused, word-dominated churches, we have always really pushed us coming together to hear the word. Because that was the primary reason and one of the central focuses of our service. Some of y'all don't even know that. One of the things that distinguished the Protestant church from the Catholic church during the Protestant Revolution, the Catholic calls it the Protestant Revolution. we called it the Protestant Reformation. One of the things that distinguished the Protestant church from, at that time, Catholicism, was the emphasis on the Word of God. Some of y'all know, our Catholic brothers and sisters today, their whole emphasis is on the communion. They come together to have communion or Eucharist. One thing that distinguished the Protestant church was there was that the emphasis was going to be on the Word of God. Okay? It's on the Word of God. So that's why we have extended, what we consider extended preaching and teaching, where if you go to some other church, you might hear 2 minutes of a priest expounding on the scripture. So we try to get you here for the sake of the word. But as much as we come together for the word, that is a primary aspect, but that's not the only reason why we come together. We come together for fellowship. Everyone say fellowship. And fellowship is one of the primary focuses of the church. There are five primary focuses of the church. And one of those focuses is a purpose of the church is fellowship. The reason why when we started the church, I was real deliberate about making sure we did things just for fellowship, just for fellowship. You know, marriage enrichment night, a big part of that night is fellowship. Okay, when we do new members reception, the emphasis of that is fellowship. There are things where we get together, it's just for fellowship. Can I encourage you parents something? I know it's hard because, see, when parents are mad at the kids, anything they like, you want to take it away from them. Just because it makes them feel, if you like it, right now I'm mad at you, you can't have it. Okay, if your kids like coming to church, can I encourage y'all not to punish them by telling them they can't come to church? Now, I know your child, I ain't raised them, I ain't taking care, I ain't saying. I'm just trying to help as somebody who's been on the other side of this thing. Don't punish them by telling them you can't come to something at church that's going to enhance their spirituality, because godliness is profitable for all things. Having the promise of this life now and the life to come. Okay? I understand, so you can't go to the football game, but if they're going to come to church where they watch it, where they're going to come in an environment that they're going to be hearing, you need to be submitted to your parents and respect your parents. That's what you need them to hear. Are y'all with me here? So a big part of what we come together for is fellowship. Fellowship comes from the Greek word koinonia. Koinonia. K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A. Koinonia. And the Greek word appears 20 times in the Bible, particularly the New Testament. Koinonia's primary meaning is fellowshipping, or watch this, sharing and communion. It's not just getting together, but it's a merging together of hearts, minds, and spirits. That's what fellowship with the other believers is. It's coming together, not just on a physical level or just in the same place, but it's coming together with commonality of communion on a spiritual level. Spirit, soul, and body coming together at the same place. It's being in agreement with one another. Is being united in purpose and serving alongside each other. Our koinonia, or fellowship with each other, is first based upon our common koinonia, or fellowship with Jesus Christ. What causes us, what we have in common with other Christians, is our faith in Jesus Christ. What we have in common, y'all really got to understand this, because see, the church becomes divided on all kinds of lines that Jesus never intended for us to be divided on. I speak in tongues. I'm going to speak in tongues. I don't care what y'all say, what y'all write, what y'all hear. But I ain't going to argue with you about it. You understand? And doesn't mean I can't get together with other Christians who don't believe in speaking in tongues. Okay? I don't have to speak in tongues around you. Okay, well, I'm walking away from you. That tongue's of the devil. Okay, I'm not going to argue with you about it, because I don't get together with other Christians based on whether or not you believe in speaking in tongues. Now, I didn't always understand this. That was one of the main things that changed for me when I went to college. When I went to college, I got around Christians who didn't look like me, who didn't come from my same background, who didn't express themselves emotionally the way we did in our church. Y'all need to understand, that was eye-opening to me, because see, we came out of church where everybody, you better praise, you had to pray. If you didn't pray, we're going to make you, we say, we assume you wasn't saved. You know, we're getting divorced. Everybody ought to be praising. If you really love Jesus, you praise. If you're born again, you must not be saved. Ain't no way you can be saved and not raise your hands. Yes, you can. Because no why you can be saved and not raise your hands. Because you don't really realize what Jesus did for you when he saved you. You know why you can be saved and not raise your hand? Because you're full of pride. Who going to look at me when I raise my hand? But yet in a football game, because it seems acceptable to cheer for Cam Newton, but not Jesus Christ. Because after all, we know Jesus, it ain't like Jesus scored a touchdown or nothing. It ain't like Jesus threw a good pass. You don't realize if you can cheer in that environment and not cheer in this environment, there's something wrong with your thinking. But it don't mean you're not saved. You need to get more understanding and more revelation. So when I went to college, I saw other Christians who didn't look like me. Lutherans, Episcopalians, Presbyterians, Methodists. And you need to understand, see, when you came out of the traditional Pentecostal church, they just tell us stuff like, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. You don't understand. They were real clear when they said, come out from among them. Come out from among them and come out from the Baptists and the Episcopalian. I'm serious. And the Presbyterian. They said, come out from among them. You're supposed to leave these traditional denominations because you got filled with the Holy Ghost now. And so we drew this dividing line. And we were never supposed to draw. Our dividing line with Christians is, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? All this other stuff, how you worship. See, it's not how you worship, it's who you worship. Are you understanding? So, as long as we worshiping the same God, and we recognize that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that's that's the level that we had intimacy on a spiritual level. See, that's why, and I'm jumping ahead of myself, so I won't go there. So I'll get to it in a moment. So our koinonia is based upon this common fellowship with Jesus Christ. 1 John 1, 6 and 7. 1 John 1, 6 and 7. It says that we say that we have fellowship with him, capital H, in most traditional Bibles. That's talking about Jesus. If we say we have fellowship with him, Jesus, and walk in darkness, I ain't calling you a liar. The Bible says we lie. See, it wasn't Joe Wilson who said it. It was that. It's the Bible. Okay. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I like that scripture. Because scripture is not just talking about not speaking truth. It says not doing truth. How many of y'all know you can live a lie just as well as tell one? We lie and do not the truth. But then he says now, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he, Jesus, is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. If we are walking with Jesus, now we can have fellowship with each other. If we, he says, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. Now, I want y'all to see that. Cleanses means it's a perpetual work. There's no such thing as you being totally cleansed yet in the flesh. But as you walk with Jesus and fellowship with one another, now the blood of Jesus keeps cleansing us from all sin and keeps making us more like him. That's why you need fellowship. Because fellowship is part of your cleansing process. Fellowship is part of you being more like Jesus. You don't get more like Jesus by hanging with everybody smoking weed. You don't get more like Jesus by fellowship on everybody turning up liquor. Y'all quiet on me. Like, y'all feeling convicted or something? Somebody should have said amen who agreed. Somebody should have, y'all like. No. You get more like Jesus by hanging around people who are like Jesus. You get closer to Jesus by hanging, being around people who want to be close to Jesus. You get closer to Jesus by hanging around people who consider this a priority in my life. It is a priority in my life that I be like Jesus. It's a priority in my life to please the Father. Y'all know that's not everybody's priorities. We can have friendships and relationships with unbelievers, but we can only have true Christian fellowship within the body of Christ. Let me say that again. We can have friendship and relationship with unbelievers, but we can only have koinonia, spiritual fellowship, within the body of Christ. We are united to one another by our common beliefs, our common purpose, and our common goals. Fellowship happens when Christians, or what Peter called people of like precious faith, get together. The church is also a family. And a family is strengthened and remains cohesive by getting together. Amen. Amen. For Christians, every time we come together, it should be a family reunion. Every time we get together, it should be a family. Y'all know how to, y'all know how to spend, especially when you used to worship with people years ago at a particular church, and you know, but now y'all in different churches, or you done moved, and y'all get together. Hey, so good, it's been 20 years. Okay? It's a family union. You get together with your family, and whether it's Christmas, New Year's, Easter, whatever, and the family get together and y'all laugh at the same jokes you've been laughing at for 25 years. You tell the same things over and over again. Now, the truth of the matter is those are really important and to that side of the family. Now, the in-laws, we think a little crazy. Because we ain't part of, we didn't have that family history with you. Are y'all with me here? We don't have that family history. So y'all have things in common that even though the in-law who bought into family, he wasn't there when you were 10 years old and your brother tied you up and left you in the closet for an hour. And y'all, you're like, man, that's crazy. But when your family gets together, you get a charge from each other. Come on now. That's how it's supposed to be in the church. It's supposed to be a family reunion. Your church is the family of God. Ephesians 3, 14 to 15. Paul said, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We know he's talking about not the human race. He's talking about the spiritual race. Because he's talking about the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's talking about this Christian family, this spiritual family, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is. So the church is a family. The church is also called the body of Christ. Everybody say body. Church is also called the body of Christ. Now a body cannot function unless the body parts are joined together. A body cannot function disjointed. A body cannot function unless the body, but as wonderful, as pretty as you think your hands are, that you want to be a finger, a nail model. Cut it off and see how well that hand look. When you cut it off, it's going to die. I don't care who you are. You may not die of going completely into the world, but if you don't regularly get around other Christians, you're going to wither up like a raisin in the sun spiritually. I don't care how long you've been saved. I said, I don't care how long you've been saved. That would include me. That's why some of y'all start cussing again. You just ain't been to church enough. That spirit of cuss are rising back up in you because everywhere you turn, they're cussing. We went to see a movie recently, Hidden Figures. I mean, it is straight up PG. It was just straight up. I told Pastor Mark, I said, now she's supposed to cuss right there. Got so used to it, I'm like, nobody says it like that. She was too angry to not cuss. I said, it was just straight up PG all the way. You know? And so you're surrounded by different ways of thinking. You're surrounded by, and the only way you're going to continue to be cleansed is to have fellowship. It happened when they were together. 1 Corinthians 12 and 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that body being many are one, so also is Christ. Your body has a head. It has, we call these the arm, we call this the upper extremities. The legs, we call these the lower extremities. Okay, and we have systems, and we have a respiratory system, expiratory system, circulatory system. We have systems, but all these systems work together for the entire body. Your heart is not just pumping blood to the heart; the heart is pumping blood to the toes. Heart is pumping blood to the brain. It works for the whole body, and you can't separate the body and the influence of one part to the other part. I told y'all. I told y'all about the man who he went to the doctor. He said, my whole body hurts. He said, everywhere I touch it hurts. And so he said, well, show me where it hurts. And so he told the doctor, that hurt. He said, it hurt anywhere. He said, yeah, it hurt there. It hurt anyway until touch the knee. Says, it hurt that. He said, well, what's it? Have touched out there where it touched hurt. He touches the ankle. Oh, that hurt too. And the doctor said, let me look if he said your finger broke. The body's connected. You can't separate the body. I have said this, I have had back pain. The worst back pain I've ever had. One time we was around here doing some work with church, and we was riding around on a golf cart. It was a sad, I don't know what happened. And we was riding around that golf cart, and I was riding around, and one lady just hanging off. And all of a sudden, I got home, went to get out my truck, and fell in my driveway, flat out. I'm like, oh my, I never had such pain in my life. And I said, oh, I mean, really, I was in so much pain. I was in so much pain, I didn't come to church the next day. And Pastor Marshall, I don't know what she was thinking. She sent two brothers from the church to come get me. They came to the house and we couldn't take you. I said, you better get out of my... You better take yourself on back to that church. Now, y'all know I was in pain. And so I said, when I was in back pain, I said, man, that's the worst pain I ever had. Then, a couple years ago, I was up in New Jersey. I was doing a three-day revival or something. And we went to this restaurant. I never had it before. And I had a steak salad with wasabi sauce. Yes, Lord, that wasabi sauce was so good until I got back to that room. Oh, and I had to preach. But all I could say is in one room, in my room. I remember that pain to this day. When my stomach was hurting, I said, oh my God, this is the worst pain I have ever had. Years ago, I had an abscess tooth. When I had that abscess tooth, I said, this is the worst pain I've ever had. You know what I discovered about the worst pain? The worst pain is the pain you got right now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's the worst pain. And when one body part of your body is in pain, it's not like my, when my back was hurting, it's not like my feet said, well, listen, you back, you lay here, feet, we the feet, we going on church. Since my back was hurting, my feet wasn't going either. When my head was hurting, okay, I don't care that the feet feeling fine. That's what a body is. We're interrelated. That's why Paul says it. If you understand the body, he said, when one suffer, we all suffer. When one rejoice, we all rejoice. If you understand what a body is, that's how the church is supposed to function. That's why some of y'all don't understand. I say things like, well, listen, someone in our church lost their mother, lost their father, lost their sister. I know y'all don't know them, but everybody is anybody that can come to the home going, come on. And some of y'all are like, why would I go to their home going? I don't know them because we are family. Y'all go to funerals in your family all the time. You don't know those folks. Ask your cousin. How's your cousin? You know, and especially y'all from y'all down there in that Charleston, y'all, none of y'all know each other. How's that your cousin? I don't know. That's my mother's sister's brother's nephew, brother, somebody. All y'all know is in the family. Amen. And families support each other. And families help each other. And families pray for each other. Now, you need to understand this, but some of y'all come from real dysfunctional families. And when you come from real dysfunctional families, it don't make sense when you come to church and try to do this, because see, some of us, we come from family that we didn't hug, like my family. My family didn't hug. Pastor Marshall's family hug. They hug and kiss. I've been part of her family now for over 31 years, so I had to learn to hug and kiss. Okay? I know her mama didn't like me. I still kiss her. Years ago, we would drive 7-8 hours to come see her mama. And we would come in and she said, hey, Marsha! And Tyler. And she just hugged her kiss. And look, I heard. You had to come too, huh? But I still hugged her. Kissed her anyway. That's my family. When you're family, you do things just because it's family. Not because you feel like it, but because it's family. Y'all know you got family members. They trifling as I don't know what. And they call you. You still give them money. You mad the whole time you gave it to them. But again, I just, you know, boy, you think all the money they make, they at least be able to keep their lights on. I mean, my goodness, this trifling folks is here. But you do it. Why? Because it's family. You can understand that. You understand what the church is supposed to be. By not one member, but many. We're the body of Christ. Now, if a member of the body becomes detached from the body, in the natural, we call that dismemberment.
How's your prayer life? Are you reading the Word consistently? Let's go back to basics in this powerful series that will help you build a firm foundation in your Christian walk. Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey encourage you with messages of fellowship, word, and prayer. Order this powerful three-part series today for your love gift of $15 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to writedirection.info. Ask for Back to Basics. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.